All right, grab your swords. Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. Oh, come on. Come on. This is so lame. He is worthy of this. Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. That's more like it. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. Even with my microphone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have been looking at loving people God's way for the last couple of weeks. And Mark 12. Awesome. And Jesus said to him, remember, the guy was asking, what's the greatest commandments? And Jesus said, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is what Streams is built on, these two commandments. And you will constantly be reminded to love God. Love God. Do you really love God? And we've been exploring this so that we could understand a little bit more about this. We have to understand that in this process of us loving God, God has always loved us. He's always loved us. And He, in loving us, has given all of Himself to us. And when we call on the name of Jesus to deliver us from whatever situation, whether it's from sicknesses, whether it's from a demonic attack, from poverty, whatever it is, God is there to not only rescue us, because our salvation is more than just a spiritual salvation. Our salvation is everything. We have all of God. Do you understand that? That when you called upon Christ, you got more than you bargained for. And what He wants in return is for us to love Him. All of us. All of ourselves. Our soul, our minds, our strength. He wants a total commitment from us because He's given a total commitment to us. We understand that. We also looked at 1 Corinthians 13. And in 1 Corinthians 13, we got the definition of love. Love is suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I have to tell you that I have failed miserably this week because I want the Spirit of God to come out of me, that not just at times when I'm communion with His people and at times when God's using me for those who don't know Him. I want it 24/7. And I'm not there yet. But I press on. I don't let my hindrances, my failures to shipwreck me or throw me into the ditch. I learn from them. I can ask God to help me to love like He loves. And sometimes I succeed in that. Because that succession is built upon a relationship with the most powerful person in the world, and who has given to me and to you his very spirit. We need to rely on his spirit more and more as the days grow darker. And how this is accomplished, we looked at it through Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is that exchange that we get. I get his spirit, he gets my body. Which is your reasonable service. He's not asking for something that's unreasonable. It is reasonable. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must learn to sacrifice. To love like God requires a sacrifice. It may require our time. It may require our substance. It may require our gifts, our talents. Whatever it is, God wants us to sacrifice that so that he may possess us totally to reach out to those who don't love us back. Hear me. To love those who don't love us back. It doesn't matter if their skin color is different from ours. It doesn't matter what step of the educational or economic ladder we're at. It doesn't matter any of those things. We are God's people. Period. He doesn't make a distinction, and neither should we. When we do this, we learn to love him because he's loved us first. 1 John. We only love because he's loved us. We only respond to his love because he's loved us. Just think about all the junk that you were involved in. And then one day, like the prodigal, you woke up and you called on the name of Jesus. Whether you understand, that was a glorious day. But that doesn't mean that calling on his name is the end. It is the beginning. It is the beginning of love. We think that because we're saved, we have it all. But really, what God is saying to have it all is we call him Lord. Have we made him Lord? I can't answer for you. I can only answer for me. And the more I call him Lord, the more he stretches me, because contained within me is his very spirit that is challenging me to love like he loves. And as you go deeper in the Lord, you will find the same challenge. But you must make him Lord. It is not your will to be done, it's his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It seems like bullying is a big thing in the school systems. We need to love them. We need to love those who are behaving, mistreating us, are rude to us, because we have Christ in us who wants to be incarnate through us. You see, Jesus wants to come out of our lives to touch every person in those areas. But we have believed the lie. We have believed the lie of the enemy because We're selfish. We suspect everyone. We're fearful of everyone. We haven't learned to love, just to love. And one of the things that we have to understand is that He wants to become a living example through our lives to touch people, which means that we must touch people with Christ, not with ourselves. We have nothing to give of ourselves. Everything belongs to God. And God, when He says to me, He says, Gary, I need you to give $10. Now I'm there with a decision. He doesn't tell me to give $10 and give me the reason. He just says, do this. Am I going to be obedient or not obedient? Praise God. And all of you have heard me say that this one time I drove into a Wawa and there was a guy there who was begging for money. And, you know, I just scooted through and came back out and I just drove on my way. And the Holy Spirit convicted me so much that I turned around and come back and that person wasn't there. I believe that was an angelic visitation to show my heart. And I've repented profusely. And since that time, whatever it is that God wants, it's His. I just acknowledge the fact that it's His. I just get to use it. And so do you. But today, I want us to finish up on loving God and start to begin to love people, to love life. We say we love people, we love God, and the most important thing is that we learn to love life together. For He is the life that without Him, there is no life in what we do. So if you would put up Mark 12:31, refresh your memories. Chapter 12:31. Mark 12:31. Bless you. And here's the second. Love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. Love. In the New King James it says, love your neighbor as yourself. The question comes, who's my neighbor? By definition and use of this word, our neighbor is every other human being. And we must have the same attitude as our Father in heaven. That attitude is, we have the greatest good intent to that person. No matter what it costs us personally. Do we have the greatest good when someone mistreats us? I don't think so. I'm just learning this. We have to learn to love as God loves. If I say I love God and I don't love you, then the love of the Father doesn't dwell in me. But He loves me. And I want more of His love. He possesses me. He's my Lord. And I want to love as He loves. And all of us should want that. All of us. But we don't understand what that really means. To love someone like God loves as he loved us, think about what you were before you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So are they. Yet he didn't give up on us. He sent his own son to the cross to demonstrate how deep this commitment to us is, and that everyone who receives him as Savior and Lord shall not perish. That was the first step of our obedience, whether you understand it or not. Only God is able to save. Not me, not the church. We should be crying out, God, use me to reach my neighbor. God, use me in such a way that I can make a difference. Use me in such a way, and I'm not giving a missions thing, but it's apropos. We are disciples of Jesus Christ, are we not? Then we should be making disciples. It's not just my job, it's yours too. But we treat the ones we love with egregious offenses. And we do this because, truth be known, we feel we can get away with it. And if we can get away with it, we will. We need to repent of that. We need to see that Jesus Christ dwells in each and every one of us. We have been enlightened to that truth. The world has not. And if we can't love those who are the closest to us, what we do is familiarity with that person breeds contempt. We slough it off. Oh, they can love us. They can get over it. It doesn't matter if we hurt them. It doesn't matter if we say something that's cruel. What matters is God dwells in them. If I love God, I love you. I have a responsibility to love you. Turn to Ephesians 4:24. If I love you, I'll be busy working itself into our conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. What this adds up to then is this. No more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we are all connected to each other after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil the kind of foothold in your life. Did you use to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you, the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive, forgiving one another as quickly as thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. That's our old nature that we're supposed to take off. In me loving you, I not only have a responsibility to love you, but that responsibility is fulfilled in this vertical relationship with God. Simultaneously, if I sin against you, I'm sinning against God. because God dwells in you. And we are all one body. Whether we understand that the church down the street may believe a little bit different, they're all part of the body of Christ. We must be receptive to accept them for what they are, but also understand that loving God also entails loving our neighbor. You can't separate the two. And you can't separate the two in the body of Christ. I can't have Mike love me and me sin against Mike. I will bear the responsibility of that sin, but eventually that sin will affect the whole body of Christ. Think about this. Think about our society and how depraved it has become. It's depraved because it doesn't love God. Really. People want their rights. Only certain people matter in life. They want justice. They want to be heard. They want to be promoted. But they don't do what God says to do. In James, it says we are to submit to God first. Then we are to resist the devil. All the natural impulses that we have, we must resist. Why are marriages failing? And I don't put the blame on the women. I put the blame on the guys. They're failing because they're selfish. They're not truly loving their wives. When we come home from work, it's like a battleground. Or we marry someone who doesn't believe God because we're missionary marrying. God says to us, don't be unequally yoked. There's a reason. We don't have to know why. We do know why, but God says don't do it. It's not good for us. So much easier to work in unity with someone with the same faith as you and make the corrections as a team. We are part of a team. It's called Jesus. Whether you understand it or not. And he has diversities within his body to succeed, to build his body up. Our lives are hidden in Christ Jesus. No more should we be yelling and screaming and just presenting good enough. If you've been with Streams for any period of time, we emphasize excellence in everything, even in your jobs, because Jesus sees everything. Oh, I didn't get promoted. Well, maybe you have a bad attitude because you didn't get promoted. Start rejoicing in what God's doing with other people. Forget about yourself. Humble yourself under God, and in due season, he will lift you up. He sees. When one person is out of fellowship with the Almighty God, it's easier for a person to look at another person as an object of their gratification. That's true. Why do we who are married and have a beautiful spouse that God has brought into our lives have a wandering eye? We're exhorted through Scripture to have our eyes so focused. So focused on what God wants to do that it's not about gratification. Because if I gratify myself, the object of my affection becomes less. I become less fearful of him because then I want to use that person who's my brother and sister for my own gratification. To love God is to experience His commitment and loyalty to me, to you. He is faithful. I am not faithful. He is loyal. I am not loyal. That's just the fact of the matter of what our sin nature, our fallen nature is all about. And once we admit to that, in this exchange of giving Him my life and receiving His life, I not only am able to love Him, I am able to love you. Because I am committed to you. I am loyal to you. I will defend you because that's who my Father is. We are part of a larger mosaic that is being put together even at this minute. Ephesians says, and so I insist, and God backs me up with this, that there be no going along with the crowd. The empty-headed, mindless crowd. Think about it. They don't think about anything except themselves. They refuse for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. How many of us have listened to the liberals profess something that it's like, that's not my reality? They're living in an alternative world. They can't think straight anymore, feeling no pain. They let themselves go in, sexual obsession, addiction of every sort, perversion. But that's no life for you. You learn Christ. This is what it means to change. It means that I now have a divine nature. I just need to discipline so allow that divine nature to rule over all of me. All over you. This divine nature is not a checklist of what we've accomplished. That only feeds our pride and our arrogance. I would rather go through something, realize that I'm missing the mark, repent, give it to God, and then ask the Holy Spirit not only to convict me when I'm getting out of touch of God's life, but to change me. Most of us have a cookie jar mentality. We stick our hand into the jar, someone catches us, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I hate to inform you, that's not repentance. Repentance is agreeing with God, changing your mind, and going in the opposite direction. I owe it to you. You owe it to me. This is a charge from God. I owe it to you. You owe it to me to love me as God loves me. You have the divine nature in you. What we lack is discipline. We're lazy. We're slothful. We want everybody to agree with our condition that I cannot agree with. I'm a different person. Different because God has made me a new creation, a new creature. I am a supernatural being, and so are you. We need to allow the power of God to take charge of this fallen nature so that we can love God, truly love God, love people, to love life. God has established this vertical relationship through the cross. He has given us the responsibility to establish this horizontal relationship with each other. We have plenty of work. And I'm not saying that to make us feel bad. It's just that we need to become disciplined. My love for you guys is unconditional. It's like the Father's love. My loyalty to you. I will defend you. Even when you're wrong, I will defend you. But we will go to pastor's office and we will straighten it all out. No one will know. But everyone will see the change that God wants. Next week, we'll finish this series up with what happens when we break fellowship with God. It has some really deep ramifications. We don't want to be like the world. We just want to be like Jesus. Dan, would you close us?